Birshut, in order after Adar's term, Birshut the Golem, who run this program, Birshut Kol HaKol HaKodesh HaZeh. We know that in a Torah, one can't cook on Shabbos. You can't put your pot of food on the fire on Shabbos. You can put your pot of food on Erev Shabbos, that's cook on Shabbos. You can put your pot of food on Shabbos, that's cooking. We also know you can't light a fire on Shabbos. You can't stoke the coals on Shabbos. You can't be mechatzav b'cholim. You can't take a poker and start stoking the coals because you're creating fire. You're being mechatzav b'cholim, you're stoking the coals, that's awesome in Atoyot on Shabbos. Chachomim were choshesh for certain chashoshes that a person might come to stoke coals on Shabbos, and therefore they were moistif all sorts of gezeirot extra upon the Issa d'Oraita. For example, if we look on point number one on the sheet, there is an Issur of Hatmona. The Issur of Hatmona is the Issur of Rabbana. What is the Issur of Hatmona? You can't take your pot off the fire on Erev Shabbos and insulate it with certain types of material and leave it like that over Shabbos. Says the Mishnah in Shabbos Mem Zayin Beis, Bameh Toimin Uvameh Ein Toimin. What is one allowed to insulate one's pots with? I.e., take them off the fire on Erev Shabbos, insulate them. Can I do that on Shabbos? Depends on what sort of material. Ein toimin loy begefet, loy bezevel, loy bemelach, loy betid. You can't insulate your pots on Shabbos, i.e. cover them all around with materials that will increase the heat of the pot.
Even off the fire.
Even if it's off the fire. Even if it's off the fire. We'll see soon why. Gefet, zevel, melach, seeds, pulp of olives and sesame seeds, salt, lime, sand, these are all types of materials that when you insulate your pot, they increase the heat of the pot. However, says another Mishnah, these are the type of things, says Mishnah, that can actually increase the heat of the pot. Don't ask me how. However, says the Mishnah in Memtes and Madalas and Shabbos, toimin b'ksus u'b'peiros, you're allowed to insulate your pot with, for example, feathers or hides. These are types of insulations which won't increase the heat of the pot. They may only retain the heat or maybe even decrease. Why can one not insulate pots with a type of material that will increase the heat of the pot? Says the Gemara in that Lamadalas on the base, and this is also mentioned in point number one, Mipnei ma omru, ein toimin v'dova ha-moistis hevel. Why can I not insulate my pots with anything that will increase the heat of the pot? V'asili migoidon, even if I just on Erev Shabbos and leave it like that on Shabbos. Gezeiro, this is a gezeiro, it's a rabbonon. Shemo yasmin beremes, if I will insulate my pots with a type of material that increases the heat of the pot, I might come to insulate my pot with remes sheyesh bo gacheres, with ashes that have coals inside. Omale Abaye says, Abaye the Yasmin, who cares? Let him insulate his pot with ashes which have coals inside. Gezeiro shemo yechat bekecholim, and choishesh, that maybe I might stoke the coals. And stoking the coals will be an issur d'oraita of mazel, you'll be burning, you'll be creating fire. So I can't insulate my pot with anything that will increase the heat. Why? Because if I insulate with such a material, I might insulate my pot with ashes that have coals inside. And if I will insulate my pot with ashes that have coals inside, I might come to stoke those ashes. And if I stoke those ashes, then I'll be over into the right. That's the issur d'rabbanan of Atmona. There's no machlokes about this, everyone's masking. You can't take your pot off on Erev Shabbos and insulate it, total insulation, with this type of the material. Another halacha that the Chachamim were choshesh for is the halacha of chazara. You can't take your pot of food off the fire on Shabbos and put it back on the fire unless you have fulfilled certain conditions. Why? This is already a machlok to show you why. If I take it off the fire, and even if it's fully cooked, so when I put it back on Shabbos, I'm not over the issur bishul because ein bishul acha bishul. But seeing as it looks like I'm cooking, it's mechzeik in levashel. It looks like bishul. The Chacham didn't want that. Other Rishonim learn for another reason. When you take it off the fire, it will cool down. And when you put it back on again, you might want to make it increase its heat. So you might stoke the coals. And if you stoke the coals, you'll be over the issur of mazel. You'll be burning on Shabbos. And therefore, Chachamim said, you can't do chazora. You can't do chazora. You can't take your pot off the fire and put it back on the fire unless you fulfill certain conditions, i.e., one of the conditions, for example, is it's still in your hands, you haven't put it down on the floor. Quite a few conditions. It's still got to be hot. A few conditions of chazora. Now we come to a third gezeira, which Chachamim were choshesh for, the gezeira of shehiyah. That's in point number two. And the Mishnah tells us, Kiro. What is a Kiro? Kiro is a stove. A stove, today we have gas stoves, but in those days, a Kiro was basically a big pot. It was actually the size, you could actually fit two pots inside this contraption. It was basically a big round pot, a big square pot, and the coals were laid out underneath it, and you put your pot inside this big box. It could be a big box, round, square, whatever you want to call it. A Kiro. That was the stove in the times of Chazal. If you have a stove, a Kiro, Shisikur Bakasha Bobri, which was lit up with straw or stubble, Noisnan Olam Tavshil, you can leave your food on it on Erev Shabbos, put it there and leave it over Shabbos inside the Kiro. Why? Because this Kiro has inside it straw or stubble. However, if this Kiro is heated up with Gefet and Eitzim, if it's heated up with the pulp of olives or with wood, then you cannot leave your pots inside it on Erev Shabbos over Shabbos. Why not? As sheyigrois or actually to say, until you do grifa, i.e. you get rid of the coals, or you actually yiktoim, until you do ketima, or you cover your coals over with ashes, then you can leave your pots inside. What does the Mishnah tell us? We have a kiro, a big stove, at the bottom it's lit up with straw, you can leave your pots of food over Shabbos inside it. However, if this kiro is lit up with coals, then you can't leave your pots inside it until you get rid of those coals or until you cover those coals with ashes. Why not? Shema yechatevi kecholim. If I leave my food inside the stove, which is lit up with coals, I might stoke those coals on Shabbos in order to increase the heat of this stove. If it's lit up with straw, because straw is very flammable, and therefore it's pointless for me to stoke straw, therefore a person will not stoke straw on Shabbos. He will stoke coals, but not straw. That's halacha of Shehiyah. We don't pass it like this halacha, we pass it like Hananiah. Hananiah, which is mentioned in point number 4, Hananiah Oimer. Hananiah says, Kol shehu kemar chol ben drusoi, any type of food which has reached the state of a third of its cooking, Marchol ben drusoi was a ganach, and because he was always on the run, he never had time to cook his food properly, so he used to eat his food when it was cooked a third. The Rambam says a half. So as soon as it's reached a third of its cooking or half of its cooking, then that's the stage of Malchum ben Drusoi was able to eat his food like that because he was on the run. If it's reached that stage, Mutter la Shoyta al Tabikira Apo Fish and Gorokin Kofim, you can leave it on top of the coals without any problem whatsoever, because a person won't stoke the coals if the food has already reached the stage of Malchum Drusoi, a third of its cooking. So we have Machloikis Tanakam and Chalalim. Can I leave food which is cooked a third on top of coals? And which happens, why shouldn't I do it? Because Shema Yechata Bikcholim, I might stoke the coals. Says the Mishnah in Daf Lamed Chet, what happens if it's not a stove? What happens if it's an oven? Now we know the difference between a stove and an oven. A stove is a gas stove, you put your food on top of it, an oven, you put your food inside. What was the difference between the stove of Chazal and the oven of Chazal? Kiro is a stove, tanur is an oven. What's the difference? So the Rishonim and Masbir, a kiro was a big open pot. A big open pot, coals were at the bottom. Tanur looked more like an upside down funnel. It was wide at the bottom and it narrowed up on top. Therefore, the heat got trapped inside it. And because the heat got trapped inside it, it was much, much hotter than a stove. Now, Grifon Kitimo will not help in the tanur, i.e., there's a chashash of Shem Yechata, there's a chashash that a person might stoke the coals, and therefore, what do? We get rid of the coals, or we cover the coals up with ashes. That's Grifo and Ketimo. In a tanur, Grifo and Ketimo will not help you. Why? Because even if you do Grifo, and even if you do Ketimo, because it's so hot, it won't help you. A person may still come to stoke the coals in the oven. That's the difference between a tanur and a kiro. Now, the minute we start talking about stoking coals, Shem Yechata B'Kecholim, and we start explaining that the solution to this problem of Shem Yechata B'Kecholim is to get rid of the coals, to cover the coals with ashes, we can already begin to understand why we have to go to Shaklos and buy a blech. We all know we have a gas stove, we put a blech inside it. If we don't have a blech, we go to shoplifters and we buy one. Why? The chashash of Shemi Yechatabikacholim, I might come to stoke a coal. There's no coal today, there's only gas. But we'll soon see where we can start comparing. And what do you have to do? You've got to get rid of the coals, you've got to cover the coals with ashes. That's the idea of a blech. That's why we need a blech. Why would this blech help? We'll see soon. Now, what is the solution to Shemi Yechatabikacholim? I might stoke the coal. Rifa Oktimo. Get rid of the coals or cover the coals. How much do I need to get rid of the coals? How do I need to get rid of the coals? And how do I cover the coals? So here we have in Machlokes Rishonim, and we'll understand why getting rid of the coals and why covering the coals will help. We have in Machlokes Rishonim, the Yerushalmi says that you've got to get rid of the coals totally. You've got your kiro, you've got your stove, you've got the coals underneath. You can't leave your pot inside it over Shabbos because you might stoke the coals. What are you going to do? You've got to get rid of the coals. Where do you get rid of them to? You have to take them out of the stove? Or can I push them to the corner of the stove so they're not underneath the pot? What do I need to do? It's a machlokes rishonim. One thing is definite. You have to get rid of all the coals. But where to? Do I need to throw them in the bin? Or can I just push them aside to the corner of the stove as long as they're not underneath my pot? And this is a machlokes rishonim. We pointed out that grief and ktima do not help in an oven. And I've got an oven, grief and ktima won't help you. The Razak says, I can simply prove from here that grifo, getting rid of the coals, doesn't mean to throw them away. You don't have to take all your coals out of your stove. It's enough to push them to the side, as long as they're not underneath the pot. And the proof is very simple. Why does grifo not help in a tanur? If you're getting rid of all the coals and throwing them in the bin, why should grifo not help in an oven? If there's no coals there, then I won't stoke them. There's nothing to stoke. Obviously. Sorry? That's why we're talking about getting rid of them on Erev Shabbos, in order that on Shabbos you won't come to stoke them. So if the idea of getting rid of the coals of grifo is to throw them in the bin, get them out of the stove, then why should this not help in an oven? If there are no coals, there are no coals. There's no chashash that I might come to stoke them. Says the Raza, and the Ran sides with the Raza. Is a raya that you don't need to get rid of all the coals out of the oven, as long as you push them to the side. If you push them to the side and they're not underneath the pot, then that is called grifo. And soon we'll see why that will help. The Ramban and the Ran, Ocholik. The Ramban and the Rashba, sorry, Ocholik on the Ran of the Raza. They said, no, you have to get rid of the coal totally. And they prove it. How do they prove it? If we look in point number 5, the Gemara asks the Shaila, Iboyaluhu. Gemara has a Shaila. Mahu litzvoich. Can I take my pot of food on Erev Shabbos and put it next to my kiro on the outside? I've got my coals inside the kiro. Instead of putting my pot of food inside the kiro, I put it next to the kiro on the outside. Will I come to stoke the coals, or will I not come to stoke the coals in order to increase the heat on Shabbos? Maybe toich of a gabba also, on the inside. Well, on top of the stove it's also to put your pot, but next to the stove maybe Tuta. The Gemara is a Shaila, maybe Tosa. If there's a Tzad in a Gemara that putting your pot next to the stove is Tosa, then Avada, if I put it inside the stove and I push the coals to the side, it should also be Tosa. What have I gained? My pot is still next to the coals. I've got to get rid of the coals in order that it shouldn't be next to them. It's a Raya that you have to get rid of the coals totally. If you have to get rid of the coals totally, then why does grifo not help you in an oven? So whichever way you learn, you've got a kasha. If you learn like the Ran and the Raza that you push the coals to the side, then why is it mutter? It's no different to smicha, putting it next to your stove, which is after. Elamai, you've got to get rid of the coals totally. If you've got to get rid of the coals totally, why does grifo not help you in a tanu? And here the Rishonim now come along with their own avenue. The Ran and the Raza explain that the idea of grifo, the idea of getting rid of the coals, and the idea of covering the coals, is to make a hekel, to make a reminder to myself that I should not stoke on Shabbos. Push the coals to the side, and that way you will notice something is different. Why the coals pushed to the side? To remind me not to stoke the coals. Why do I put a blech on Shabbos? To remind me not to stoke the coals. To remind me not to increase the level of the gas on Shabbos. That's how the Rambam is done. Whereas, if I put my pot next to the stove, I don't see a reminder. I haven't pushed my coal to the side. I don't see a reminder. The Ramban and the Rashbam say no. The ideal of covering the coal, the idea of getting rid of the coal, is not to make a reminder, but to prove that I have no interest in increasing the heat of this oven. I don't want the heat of this oven to increase. If I would have wanted the heat of the oven to increase, I wouldn't have got rid of the coal. Therefore, I have proven that I'm the type of person who's not interested in doing chitu, who's not interested in stoking these coals. So the idea of putting on a blech is not to remind me not to do a chitu. The idea of the blech is to prove that I'm interested in decreasing the heat of the stove, not to increase the heat of the stove. It's a gilui das that I have no interest in increasing heat, I have an interest in decreasing heat. And seeing as I decrease the heat of this stove, then why would I come to increase it later on? And therefore, they come along and say that you have to get rid of all the coals, because the idea of a hecker is not enough. It's not enough to have a reminder. You have to prove that you're interested in decreasing the heat. If so, you'll ask, why is it that in a tanur, grease and steamer doesn't help? If you're pushing the coals to the side, then why does it not work? Why does it not work in a tanur? Because in a tanur, I might still stoke the coal. I have a reminder. In a tanner, it's not a reminder. A tanner is so hot that maybe the reason I pushed the coal to the side was not to decrease the, it was not to decrease the, it was not to remind me, but because it shouldn't get burnt. So pushing the coal to the side in an oven is not a reminder, because it's quite normal to push the coal to the side in an oven in order that the food shouldn't get burnt. Whereas in a stove, pushing the coal to the side is a reminder. And according to the Ramban and the Rashba, who say that the idea of grifo is a gilui das to prove that I'm not interested in increasing the heat, in a tanner you don't have that gilui das. Because in a tanner, maybe the reason why you got rid of the coal was not in order to decrease the heat, but in order that the food should not get burnt. And therefore there is no gilui das. So now, when we talk about the blech, why do we put the blech on? So one of two reasons, according to the Rishonim, either to remind me not to increase the gas, or in order to decrease the heat. And by decreasing the heat, I'm proving that I have no interest in increasing the heat. Those are the two svaras that we find in the Rishonim.
In the Rambam and Rashba, though, there's no source of heat left. But with a blech, there's still a source of heat below the blech.
No, according to the Rambam and the Rashba, by getting rid of all the coal, then you're saying there's no source of heat left. We've seen the Rambam says that by getting rid of the coals, it's impossible to get rid of everything. There's always something left. That's how the Rambam learns. And the Rambam and the Rashba, you can ask that if I've got to throw all the coals out, is it impossible to have any chashash chitui? So why does it not help in the tanur? Why should it not help in the tanur? If there's no coals, there are no coals. You're asking the gas, there is a source of heat left, and in the tanur there is no coal. If there's no coal, so what's the problem? So the Ramban and the Rashba explain that because a tanur is so hot, the idea of a tanur is always because it's so hot. Because a tanur is so hot, therefore I might confuse it with a type of tanur which has not been gone, which I have not got rid of the coal. I don't see much of a difference between a tanur where I've got rid of the coal or I haven't got rid of the coal. If I allow you to leave your pot in an oven where you have got rid of the coal, I will come to leave my pot in an oven where you haven't got rid of the coal. Because...
Then you'll do
a chitui. So even though there's actually no chash chitui in the type of oven where there are no coals, but because it's so hot, I might come and leave my pot in an oven where there are coals. Because I don't see much of a difference between the two. Whereas a kiro, there's a substantial difference when I've got rid of the coals or when I haven't got rid of the coals. That's how the Ramban and the Rashbam learn. So, coming back to a gas stove. So Rav Moshe comes along and says that he's not convinced at all that there should be any chashash chitui in a gas stove. Maybe there is no problem in a gas stove. Why? He says, what do we see? We see Chazal worries that the coals that exist in this stove, in this oven, I might come to stoke them. But we don't find that Chazal choshesh that you might come along and bring coals from your storeroom and put them onto the stove. Why? Because the person's not going to come to do such a thing. He knows that the coals in the storeroom, I won't come to put onto my stove. But the coals that are there already, a person might subconsciously, absentmindedly stoke them. That's what Rav Moshe's times. He says, if there's a gas stove, how does a gas stove work? When you increase the level of the gas, you're not stoking the fire that's there already. You're bringing coal from outside. You're bringing gas from the pipe, which is outside, and you're putting it onto your gas stove. And who said there's ever such a chashash? That's Rav Moshe's time on his vora to say why there should be no chashash at all by gas ovens. And Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, the Tzitz Eliezer, comes along with a total different angle to explain why there may be no chashash chiti at all in a gas stove. He says that the difference between coals and a gas stove is very simple. Coals, by nature, their level of heat drops. Slowly but surely, the whole fire wanes away from the coals. So maybe the chashash chiti, the chashash to stoke coals, is only those types of materials where heat decreases. Whereas a gas stove, once you've set the level of your gas, that level remains. Unless there's a problem of gas in the country, but otherwise that level remains unless you haven't paid your gas bill. But otherwise the level remains, and who says it is a chashash chiti? However, both Rav Moshe and Rav Eliezer Waldenberg and all the other poskim say that seeing as it's so easy to increase the level of the heat, it's not as if I'm doing any extra work at all to go and bring the coals from my storeroom or even from next, from right here. All I have to do is just fiddle with a button. That's not today's year. So in such a situation, maybe there wouldn't be chashash chiti. But you say because it's so easy to be mechatit, it's so easy to fiddle around with the buttons, therefore they say it's a chashash chiti. Now the other side is what does one cover? Does one cover? I've seen two types of blech. The types of blech which are simply flat pieces of metal put on top of the gas. I've seen others, right, which come across. All across the fire, and it goes down and cover the buttons. Or you put silver foil over the buttons. Doesn't one have to cover both? Doesn't one have to cover just one? So the chayyur depends. If the idea of grief and ketim, the idea of getting rid of the coals, or covering the coals with ashes, if the idea is a gilui das, and what is this gilui das? The gilui das is to prove that I am not a chitu type of person. I'm interested in decreasing the heat, therefore, I'm not a type of person who will increase the heat, therefore, you have to cover the fire, not the flame, rather than the buttons, because you have to show that I'm decreasing the heat rather than just a reminder. Whereas according to the Ran and the Razan, say that the idea of grief and tumi is just a reminder, a hecker to remind me not to stoke, then lichaoira, you could either cover the flame, which is a reminder, or you can cover the knob, which is a reminder. I've got one or the other as a reminder. However, we find that poskim are machmir on both. They say you should cover both because we find that the reminder has to be b'mokko in ha'ish. Okay.
What's the difference between gas and electric? What's the difference?
Sorry?
What's the difference? What's the relevance? I mean, you're talking about heat with a knob.
Yeah. And there are the same problems with electric.
Why is not electric?
Yeah, because I'm talking about it. I haven't gone into this, Nidin. That's what I'm saying. I haven't gone into it, therefore I don't want to talk about it.
I don't know what any difference is.
Sorry? There could be no difference. There could be no difference. There's as much fire in Hobbes as there is the element burning, and it's fire. You're creating fire. Well, the fascist, you're up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now there's a different challenge. I put my blech on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and I put my pot on top of the blech. Now I decide that it's not hot enough. I want to increase the heat. Can I do that? If the idea of the blech is to make a hecker, then I've got my hecker here, I've got my reminder, I can increase it. If the idea of the blech is to decrease the heat, then you've actually counteracted your whole decreasing. You've put a blech on to decrease the heat, and now after you've put on the blech to decrease the heat, you've gone and increased the heat. So you are actually counterbalanced, you've actually counteracted your whole point of the blech. That's why Shem Zalman says, others also say this, Volta says, don't put up the fire after you've put your blech on. Because even though I have a hecker here, but I don't have any more to give you that. I haven't shown that I'm interested in decreasing it, because I decreased the heat by putting the black on and I've increased the heat. I could carry on, but we're running out of time, and maybe just a few words on the parsha. You see, at Mitzrayim, Parsha went out to Mitzrayim. The parsha's very, it says that Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe el Aharon Vayitzavim el Bnei Yisrael el Paroi Melech Mitzrayim Lohoitzi et Bnei Yisrael Melech Mitzrayim. There's a Yitur Loshen in this pasuk. Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron to speak to who? To Bnei Yisrael and to Paroi to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. What did he need to speak to Bnei Yisrael to take them out of Mitzrayim? He should speak to Paroi. Says the Yerushalmi, from this Vayitzavim of Bnei Yisrael, these words Vayitzavim of Bnei Yisrael, which are meyuter, they are totally superfluous in this pasuk. Says the Yerushalmi, from here we learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the day when Klal Yisrael went out to Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was metzave Klal Yisrael on a mitzvah, on the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was metzave Klal Yisrael to send out their servants, to free their servants when the time comes to free them. Why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu metzave Klal Yisrael on the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim punct on the day when they went out to Mitzrayim? Could he not have waited till Matan Torah? Did they have nothing better to do on the day they went out to the Mitzrayim than to hear about the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim? Wait till Matan Torah, tell them about the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim by Matan Torah. More than that, it says that the galus was caused because of the neglect of this mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim, sending away the servants. Is it such a gefelcha, such a terrible aveira? Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says the Moedik Yisoid. He says that the day when Klal Yisrael went out to Mitzrayim, you can imagine their feelings. It was a time when they went from Avdus L'Chayut, from Shibud L'Geulah, from Afeilu L'Oz Godel, a situation where their feelings were so strong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take that moment and he wanted to immortalize that fleeting moment of inspiration, and he wanted Klal Yisrael to appreciate what it means to be set free. And at that moment when Klal Yisrael was set free, he said to them, you see, you appreciate your feelings now, now I want you to realize what it means to free a servant. They went out the Avdus L'Chayut, Mishivud L'Gula, Ma'afel God. Such feelings they had, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take that second, that moment of inspiration which Klal Yisrael had, and use it for a good cause. Use it that they should appreciate what it means to set Avodim free. It says, Vayishma Yisroi, Yisroi heard. Mitzacheni, it says, Oz Nizharu Aluf HaYedem, the Torah says, that Aluf HaYedem, the chieftains of Edom, were shocked. That it literally means they were shocked. Oznid halu aluf ayedoim. Aluf, how does it carry on? Oznid halu aluf ayedoim. They were shaking, they were trembling, literally. If the Torah says they were trembling, they were literally trembling. They were trembling. What did they do about it? Did they use that moment of inspiration which they had for any good cause? They didn't. There was only one person who used that moment of inspiration and it immortalized it for life. Vayishma Yisro. Yisro took that second, that feeling, that inspiration which he had, and he used it for the good. We find the same thing with Hanani ben Chachinoi. We'll finish off with this story, that he went to learn in yeshiva during the Sheva Box of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said to him, why don't you wait for me, my Sheva Box will be over in 2 days and then we'll travel to yeshiva together. And he said, no, I'm going. And he went, and he went, he was there for, I think, for 12 years, and he came back and he saw that Ishtanu Shvili de Mosa, the whole town had changed, all the roads had changed. He didn't know his way home, he didn't know what to do, how did he find his house? So he went to the riverside and he thought maybe some one of his children will be there, and he heard one of the girls calling the other one, Bat Chachinoi, the daughter of Chachinoi, come take your jug, let's go home. Oh, this must be my daughter. And he followed her home. He came home and his wife was in the kitchen, she was baking, she was cooking, and she looked out of the window and she sees him, and she got such a shock, Nebuch, she fell down and she was nifta. And he turned to Rabbi Nishan and he said, Rabbi Nishan, is this a schar that a woman has for letting her husband go learn the mitzvah nefesh for 12 years? The Kadosh Baruch Hu listened, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu was going that his tefillah should work, and was mechaye meisim. Hanani Mechachinoi had the koyach to be mechaye his own wife. He could have waited those extra 2 days, go together with Shimon Bar Yochai to yeshiva. What, imagine going all the way to get to yeshiva, 4 hours on the train together with Shimon Bar Yochai. What a tchus. No, he wanted to immortalize that fleeting moment of inspiration. He had an inspiration. He was going to go learn in yeshiva. He was going to become a type of person who could be mechayim meisim. But if he would have waited those 2 days, who knows what would have happened. He wanted to immortalize that moment of inspiration, like a Kadosh Baruch Hu did with Klal Yisrael, in order that that moment should remain forever and he should utilize it for a good use. We all have moments of inspiration. We all have it, but the point is not to have the moment of inspiration. The point is to take that moment, to chap on Yenet Sekun, to grab that moment and to use it for a good cause. Emir Hashem, with all our moments of inspiration that we will, Emir Hashem, utilize, we will bring closer to the Biyat Mashiach to the table.